All right. Was that for how I'm doing, or we started? Oh, we started. Okay. Turn to Ecclesiastes 10:10, if you would. This morning, the topic is titled, Can You See the Forest for the Trees? Y'all ever heard that phrase? Can you see the forest for the trees? The Lord impressed me something. Really, it's kind of an exhortation word this morning. It's just really going to just look at two verses. And what I want to point out to us is the Lord is doing something new in our church, refreshing and fresh. And it's really important that you be aware and cognizant of what's going on, because the enemy is going to do all he can to steal it, to destroy it, to rob you from being a part of it. But I want you to see this verse. This is an amazing verse. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If I haven't shared this before, I'm going to share it. King James says, if the iron is blunt and you do not whet, that's an old King James meaning sharpen the edge, then you must put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now let me read that from NIV. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. Now, that makes sense. I mean, have you ever tried to cut meat with a dull knife? You know, it takes a whole lot more effort. Am I right? If you have an axe and it's dull, you know, it's a whole lot more work than if you sharpen the thing to a razor point. It's a lot more effective without as much strength. So it's almost a corollary to the degree of dullness, to that degree more labor. To the degree of sharpness, to that degree less labor to compass the end. And obviously, there's not a scripture in the Bible simply to teach us how to cut trees down better. I would submit there's spiritual application here. And the application is that a lot of us, and the way the enemy tempts us, he tempts us to become dull. He tries to dull our edge, to blunt us, to cause us to be passive and lukewarm, to where we're not sharp in the spirit. And so stuff happens and we're clueless. You know, we're just not what I afraid call it connecting the dots. Or the teaching is we can't see the forest for the trees. Yeah, what that phrase means is if you're in a wooded area and you're walking around seeing significant trees everywhere, you're going to be focusing on the individual trees, whereas if you went back a bit across the field, you could see the whole forest. And a lot of times in our life, we get caught up with the trees, the situations, the dynamics, the circumstances, the frustrations, the needs, the pressures, all of these things, and we lose picture of what's really going on, the big picture in the spirit. Because, you know, I really believe spiritual warfare is like a chess game. And our whole life is really like a chess game. It really is. And that the enemy is all about trying to first keep you from getting saved. If you get saved, keep you from ever coming into the spirit. And then trying to keep your life consistently ineffective, or where you're spinning around and wasting your time, focused on yourself, me, mine, and never really effective in bringing forth the kingdom. I really believe God has for every one of us a role to play. If you're born again, there is a role. There is, according to Ephesians 2:10, He has works set in place before the foundation of time, fitted with specific works set for you and I to do. There is preordained works that God has everybody born again He has for you to do in the kingdom. And some weeks back we defined what those works were. Those works were really doing the works of Jesus Christ. And Jesus all through the New Testament, particularly in John, talks about if I do the works of the Father, don't believe me, believe me on the basis of the works. You know what the works were that Jesus did? The works He did was the manifestation of the supernatural. That was the works of Jesus Christ. He said, I believe on, He said, if you don't believe, at least believe for the work's sake. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed to the devil, for God was with Him. That is the works of the kingdom, is to manifest the glory of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders. And I really believe those works are set for us. God has works for every one of us to do. Wherever you are, every day, He's got people around you need the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is manifest best through the works of Jesus Christ. What are the works? Heal the sick. Freely you receive, freely give. Cast out demons. Pray for those that are incurably ill and see them healed. raise the dead, move in the preaching the gospel to the poor, being a testimony to people that need Jesus Christ. Do you know what I mean? That's it. And there are works. And the enemy's trying to do all he can to keep you from doing the works. He wants to get religious. He wants to get you where you're behind the four walls, that you kind of feel like your Christian duty is just to take care of me, my, and mine. I beg to differ. If you're born again, God has a bigger agenda for you than just your family. Did you know that? God has a bigger agenda for you. That doesn't mean you need to be faithful. But he has a bigger, he has an agenda called the kingdom of God. And to the degree that you want to be, used of him in the coming kingdom is based upon your faithfulness in this kingdom. There is another kingdom. A kingdom of God on earth. It's coming. 1,000 years, Christ is going to reign. All the New Testament's focused on that. And your placement and proximity and power and all of the position you hold in that kingdom is predicated upon your faithfulness to do the works in this kingdom. All right? So the enemy's trying to do all he can. And what he does is he works best with dullness. And he causes it to be dull to where we're kind of bouncing into walls. We walk, you know, like somebody that's kind of really blind. You know, there's some people that are so blind, maybe not totally blind, but they can't see, and, you know, they can barely have to get up to the wall before they even see it. And a lot of people spiritually are like that. They maybe physically have 20/20, but spiritually they're dull. They can't connect the dots. They can't see the forest for the trees or what's going on in the spirit world. And the inability to connect the dots is not to see that with every cause there's an effect, there's a cause. That you reap what you sow. There are consequences to choices. A lot of times we'll do things, we'll behave in certain ways, and we have no clue that a month, a week, a couple of days, or a few months later, what's going on in our life is directly caused by what we did here. You know, we've seen that in deliverance sessions. You'll have somebody that when they're young, they'll make an inner vow. You know, they have a father maybe who's very abusive, or a mother maybe emotionally abusive, corrects with anger, and they say, I will never do that to my kids. And they basically make a vow born of bitterness and resentment against someone that mistreated them. And 15, 20, 30 years later, there they are doing the exact same thing of the very thing they despise. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Judge not, lest you be judged. Whatever measure you meet, it's going to be measured back. But they got to connect the dots. It often takes sitting in a session, operating in discernment, word of knowledge, somebody can finally put their hand, there's a vow you made. You need to release, break that vow, let that thing go, forgive, bless, and release those that hurt you. Get off this gravy train of trying to be something. Break that thing and be free, and then you don't have to carry the sins of the fathers to the children. That's kind of a classic picture. But we see this in little ways. You can... Just to the day, you can get angry, and when you get angry and you get out of control, you know, some people get angry and they just move out of control. They get in the flesh, they just emote words, you know, they get it and they say things, and then, you know, they'll calm down. But you know, sometimes the words you've said in a fit of anger have set something in motion that will affect you weeks and months down the line. And affect you physically. I know people are constantly struggling with physical ailments, emotional traumas. I talked about the other day, resistance. Resisting God brings continual and corresponding misery. You got to connect the dots. A lot of what's going on in our life is because we open the door. The reason you got mosquitoes in the room when you're swatting them at night is because the window's open. Hello? Connect the dots. Wow, are these mosquitoes in there? Hello? You had the screen door propped open all afternoon, right? That's the way it works. And the enemy tries to teach us or get us to the place of dullness. Now, folks, in our church, God is doing new things. It started about when I was in Atlanta on a conference a couple months back. The Lord spoke to me. And I had been, the last year and a half or 2 years, I and all, many of us have been seeking the Lord about a balance and healing here and seeing supernatural healing. And there was some visions given that we had been a lot of experience in deliverance. That was our roots. But that he wanted to balance us, and we were way out of balance. We didn't have corresponding anointing and healing. And so I had been crying out to the Lord, and in my own personal life put a pattern of fasting in that of a level that I've never moved in. It's been about 18 months now, seeking the Lord, crying out to him, fasting, praying, preaching about it. We cried out to the Lord. And I'm telling you, just about 2 months ago, maybe six, I don't know when it was, the Lord finally spoke to me. I finally got a rhema from heaven. And it was real simple. He just said, go back to your roots. That's all he said. And, but I got a rhema. When you get a rhema, that means there's going to be an anointing. So we're going back to the roots. And then he began to reveal to me some things from various sources, a new way, a brand new approach to understanding faith and moving in supernatural ministry that I did not understand 20 years ago when I preached a lot of this. And is the revelation of who we are, where we are, and operating from there. And what it's doing, as I hammer on this in the scripture, and you hear it, it's building faith in the body. There is faith. Are y'all discerning that? There's faith. And you know, the key to healing is faith. I mean, it's really that simple. You've got to build faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But as the faith builds up, you know, Jesus said, by your faith, you're healed. So the faith comes by hearing the word. The word, the hammering, the rhema word, the quickened word is building faith. And people begin to understand, gosh, Chris is proving through the scripture, that's true, I knew those verses, but week after week I'm beginning to believe it, that I really am living in a realm I've never lived in. And I can operate from that realm, and I don't have to live under stuff anymore because I live above. And we've seen those passages in Ephesians 2. You need to just memorize these. Ephesians 2, I forget what it is, 8 or whatever. Colossians 3. And what's the other one? Philippians 3. There are those passages. We're seated in heavenly places. We're hid with Christ in God. Psalm 91 says, he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty shall... you know that verse? It's a picture of an eagle. Way as... nest is way up in the high ledges of the wall of a mountain. And that's where we're hidden. And with Christ, we're seated in heavenly places. And that we need to learn to pray and operate from our authority in Christ, simply who we are born again. It's not because you've been good, or you've been really trying hard, it has nothing to do. It's because of the blood of the Lamb, and you're born again. That's it. That's why you're seated up there. Can I amen? And none of us are good enough. Forget the good thing. It has to do with the blood and the fact that you're sealed and seated there. And God is really pleased with faith. The Lord really is pleased with faith. He longs for faith. You know, he even said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? He really wants to see faith. And faith is not what most people preach it is today. Faith, frankly, is just doing. That's all it is. Do it. Just faith is doing it. Can I amen? Faith without works is what? It's doing it. You believe, now go do it. And that pleases the Lord. And what's exciting is once you understand who you are, where you are, then it's easier to do it. It's easier to do it when you understand the authority you have as a child of God. Now, folks, the enemy uses little foxes, the Bible says in the Song of Solomon, to spoil the vines, little distractions, little circumstances, little pains and aches. Oh, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling hurt. You know what? I know David and Jenny were talking about how, and I think they gave a testimony to this, that the enemy, a lot of times, right before services, they would both start getting sick. In fact, David's just really ill this morning. He's just sent an email at 5 this morning. I was up at a quiet time and about 5:45 and looked at my email, and I already gotten an email coming in. He says, I can't come in. He was really ill. And I think it's a counterattack because he's really trying. He's recognizing that right before a service on either Koinonia, Friday or Sunday, they get sick. Somebody gets sick, something happened. And what I told him was, brother, go on the offense. Why are you being battered around by demons? Go on the offense. The enemy doesn't want you coming sitting under the word. And I'm going to tell you that's true with everybody here. God's called everybody here to be committed to this work. I don't want babies. And you got to be aware we're in a war. The enemy's going to hit you. You know, he's not going to hit you with some meteorite in the front yard. You know? It's going to be some little thing that's so familiar you don't even think it's the enemy. But it's some little thing just enough to keep you from going, assembling with God's people. And you're going to miss what God's doing. God is doing something fresh in the body right now. The heart of the Lord is that we have so many testimonies that I can't preach the word. That I just, people are getting up talking about healing and mismanifestation of God's power and this and this and this. And I just, you know, there's no time for teaching today because there's so much people who are doing the kingdom so much. You don't even need to hear the word today. Let's just rejoice in what we are already doing. Can amen? That's where the Lord wants to get us. And you know, either you're going to get on the bus, Gus, or you're going to breathe the fumes as we take off down the road. A discipleship has the C word. Y'all know what the C word is? commitment. The enemy does not want you coming around. He wants you to be intimate. He doesn't want you to have the C word. He wants you to be half committed. And you're missing what God's doing. I'm telling you, he's doing something fresh. Been preaching, good Lord, 26 years every week. Pastoring over 20. And I'm telling you, the last few months, God is doing something brand new in the Spirit. And that's just like the Lord. Behold, I do something new. I mean, it's like the Scripture is opening up for me now in a way it hasn't since the days when I first got into deliverance. Good Lord, did it open up then. When I first got deliverance in the early 80s, it's like I'd never seen the Bible before it opened up so much. Well, the Scripture's opening up to like that to me now in a brand new way. And that's exciting. You want the pastor to have a brand new opening of Scripture because it all comes from the Word. Revelation in the Word that's going to give us faith. Amen? And what I'm realizing is there's a lot of the Word that has to do with healing that has nothing to do with healing. I'm going to say that again. There's a lot of the Word that has to do with healing has nothing to do with healing. It has to do with where you are and who you are. And when you understand that, healing works. Deliverance works. You understand? It's really not particularly applicable to healing, but it is. It's applicable to who you are and what you can do. And when you encounter needs, no problem. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what the Scripture says. It doesn't say pray for the sick and hope that they get better. It says lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Jesus said heal the sick. He didn't say pray for them. And we Americans, we pray for the sick because we can't believe maybe God will heal, I hope. But God wants to get to move in New Testament Christianity where we just heal the sick. We just heal them. When Paul ended up in Acts 28 after the shipwreck, remember? And a bunch of just wild pagans. And he went in. He went into kind of the authority of the island. He just laid hands and started healing people. And as a result, they provided them sustenance and let them stay there all that winter, you know, until they finally took off. Provide, it was a blessing. They bring the kingdom of God to that island. You can look at this. In Acts 28, because why? One man understood, when I lay hands on the sick, they should be healed. He was bold. He went right to the authority. You know, sometimes God will... here's something to pray. Ask God to send you to the authority of your job, your school. Ask him to open up a door to minister to the authority. Because you know it's true. I don't care how highfalutin an authority is. When they have a physical need, they're willing to humble themselves. There was a guy, he was a centurion. Was it the centurion? Japheth, was it the one? Jairus. He was a high-ranking, the centurion was the military, but Jairus was a high-ranking Pharisee or something. I forget. You know, high priest? And, you know, not the kind that would consort with Jesus. But, you know, when his little girl got sick, his 12-year-old daughter, guess where he went? To Jesus. See, I don't care who they are. When they get hit with sickness, you're helpless. So you're going to go. And you know, folks, when you learn to pray for the sick and minister and you let it be known, I'll be praying for you. I want to pray to you. And I believe that Jesus heals. You know, God will open doors. You'll be known. They're going to be the one they're going to come to. Particularly if there's testimony that there's been healing. Get an amen. Every job you have, every place you are is like a garden. Whatever office you work in or school, look at it like a garden. When you walk into your office in the morning or you walk into your school, wherever you are, think of it as stepping into your garden. And you have a big garden and you're growing all kinds of fruits and flowers and vegetables. And it turns out they're seasonal. Some come up this time. And so you have to do different things to different parts of the garden. You know, you need to water here. You need to weed here. You need to trim here. You need to prune here. Amen. That's exactly what your job is. All those people, you're the gardener, and they're the need. And you need to be going there with that mindset. I'm here to minister. I'm available, Jesus. One day, he may say, don't do anything. Just walk around and admire the garden. Nothing to do. Then you'll notice there's a weed. And maybe in a session of prayer, you bind a demon. May over here, maybe pruning. God's telling you go confront somebody about something, you know? Have the guts to go. If you don't weed that thing, it's going to be choked. Over here, me, water. Just go, I'm giving a word of encouragement to somebody. Hey, how you doing today? How's the kids, you know? I don't know if you're struggling with that. You know, I tell you what, if a woman, if you want to get a woman to open up faster, ask her about her kids. You know what I mean? How are your kids? You want to get a guy to open up? What do you ask him? How much money you making? Would you like to make more money part-time? $1,000 a month part-time. I wrote here, cluelessly, we respond soulishly, and we miss out. New wine is finally, I'm reading my notes here before I tie this up. New wine is finally locked into its future destiny. Are you near front, carrying up the rear, or off the tracks? Did you hear that? New wine is finally lined up with its destiny. Destiny. You are my density. I mean, destiny. Whatever. I love that line. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, I'm 55, man. All right. And if you don't finally figure it out by the time you're mid-50, you know, where you going, dude? So I really believe in my remaining years, I told the Lord, I said this to him years ago, I long for the day I can open the eyes of the blind. I've always said that to the Lord. And I think this is it. We've locked in. This is the remaining years of my ministry. Guys, I'm not going to be around here for long. You know, forever. Praise God. I'm out of here. But I have a feeling he's going to drag me out all the way to the great tribulation, you know, Antichrist rule. I mean, but dude, it's okay. If I can hang on to the light show, amen. East is to the west. But, you know, I really believe this is our destiny, is God wants our work to, in these latter years of this work that I'm pastoring it, he wants it to move in signs and wonders in a way we haven't. And that we will be known as a place that people can come and get healed as well as delivered. We're known as a place to get deliverance. Trust me, we are known all over. And Rams, you don't have a clue. I was astonished the other day, the outreach of our TV ministry. I was sharing that I had a lead to an individual that wanted some life insurance. And among other things, I sell that. And so I called the client, and they said, well, and they gave me their address, and it was South Beltway, exit Post Oak. You go south towards Missouri City. You turn. You go way down to Professor's Walgreens up in this neighborhood, all these houses. And there's this house. And I go in, and the individual that I was to meet wasn't there. Frustrating. But her parents were. And the gentleman, I sat down, really nice couple, black couple. And the gentleman, he's just now retiring from Coca-Cola. Been with Coca-Cola for 30 years, because that perked up my ears. I'm also in the investment business, and fixing to retire, huh? Yeah. Doesn't, and he says, we're rolling over some money. We don't know where to put it. Oh, you don't, do you? So, I kind of maneuvered, and it was real. I said, this is God. So I'm sitting there talking to pull out my little computer and doing some numbers and talking about, you know, what they can do with their rollover money. And the guy looks at me and says, I know you. Where do I know you from? He said, I've seen you. Guess what? They've been watching me for years on TV. Some little house in the middle of nowhere. And they said, oh, yeah, you're that preacher. The preacher guy. And so he preaches the word. And I thought, you know, that's got to be amazing. And what struck me is I don't know if you know, we've been doing that television show. We just did two shows this week. We've been on, almost every day, Bo, for the last, what, 4 or 5 years? Almost every day. And prior to about the 8 years before that, what, at least 3 times a week, right? I mean, guys, we're talking almost 12, 15 years in the Houston area, almost every day, ministering the Word of God in the area of all these things, and been doing it week after week, month after month, year after year, and we're not even aware of it. And what struck me is, you know, for nothing else, the existence of this ministry is for nothing else than the anointing that God has put on my life, and the anointing in this church and the support of this church is enabling unique teaching to go in thousands and thousands of homes over years and years. And I think it's been 11 to the community. I think it's counterattacking that demon. The territorial spirit, y'all remember the story back when, was that the late 80s? The very reason I moved to Pasadena was to get away from the demonic. I saw that thing over Houston. Man, y'all know that story. That ruler demon over Houston actually appeared to me. Scared the whatever. But through a series of events, the Lord led me to come over here to Pasadena, buy a house, so that I'd be out from under his jurisdiction. And we've been lobbing Scud missiles ever since. I remember it happened during the first Gulf War, because that's when they were doing Scud missiles. Remember that? And I think it's really now, 15 years later, and God has done that. And I really believe that was a call on this work. God knew, you know, in the very beginning of this work, he would use the testimony of this ministry to blanket a community, and we have no idea in this life what's a, and every one of y'all is a part of that. If it was not for this body, the support, the base of this body, that ministry could not go forth, guys. It isn't just me. It's just the gifting in my life. But it's not me. It takes Bo being the producer, my wife being the patient camera person, you know, and who kicks whenever I'm kicking the thing. She has a little sign she does to, you know, do this with your tie, wipe the drool off your face, you know, little helpful things. I said, you know, the way I needed to do a TV show is like this. And the reason is George will say, honey, you got to come see this guy. Look at his tie. You know, if you're just normal, they just flip right through you. But if you're doing something weird, like, you know, they're going to stop. When I first did the TV show years and years ago, I did one, and my mom gave my dad a VHS of it, and my dad actually watched me do this sermon. And they came to town for something, and I said, well, Dad, Mom said you watched me on the TV show. And I said, what'd you think? He said, you looked like you were on cocaine. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you just talked so fast and you were so intense. I said, well, Dad, that's why they stop and look at me. Look at this dude. What's he on? You know, if you're just sitting there, okay, if you will turn your Bibles to... I mean, you know, people go to the Comedy Channel, you know. Because our ministry is ever decreasing on television. Back when I started, there was very few. What is it? How many? The cable channel now offers, what, 18,000 channels, you know? Who knows what? So it's a smaller niche all the time. But hey, that's okay. We picked it up on the internet. By the way, we're fixing to get a podcast. We're fixing to do podcast. And so on the internet, if you haven't, of course, you got to get an iPod. But I podcast right now. I literally podcast two or three ministries. I go up every Monday or Tuesday. I put in my iPod, instantly downloads two or three ministries or sermons. And then I just listen to it in my car through the speaker all week long. That's what New Wine Fixing a Podcast is. Praise God. So you got to get you an iPod. Get up with speed. Last place, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 in conclusion. We're running a little late today, but that's okay, I say. Are y'all hearing me? How many of y'all tend to get lost in the woods and you can't see the forest? You forget to connect the dots. Folks, listen, be wise. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Be wise. Don't be stupid spiritually. Don't be dull. Christ had a lot to say about that. You know, we're dull. And you know, it's really important if you got people dependent upon, like if you're raising kids, you know, be wise, because your kids need to see you wise, connecting, teaching them how to discern the difficulties of life and recognizing the reality of reaping what you sow. Last place, 2 Peter 1:3. I want you to see this. According as divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Now, all of this is a fruit of knowing Jesus. I want you to know that. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. But by these promises that come from knowing Jesus, you can be partakers of the divine nature. Now, you know, this is a zip file, man. This word, you are partakers of the divine nature. I mean, that's incredible stuff, seated in the heavenlies. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, you're lifted up into a high place. And beside all this, give diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindliness, charity. In other words, this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's trying to grow you up. That's what he's saying. He's trying to grow you up and balance you and temper you. You understand that? Give you affection and godly love. That's really what he's saying. As you're pursuing and walking in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to fill the house. He's going to knock out the wings, clear out the old, and balance you out, tempered and moderation and all these things. The Holy Spirit's the designer. He's the architect. He's the builder. But look at this verse now. Verse 8, for if these things in you and abound, they'll make you that you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. See, God's purpose is to make us fruitful, to bear fruit for the kingdom. Jesus said, if you bear much fruit, this pleases my Father. But, here's verse 9, this is where you don't see the forest for the trees. But he that lacks these things is what? Is blind. He cannot see afar off. and he's forgotten, he was purged from his old sins. In other words, that's the problem. A lot of people, they're blind, they're clueless. You know, forgetting you're purged from your old sins means you wrestle with guilt all the time. You walk in, the demons are beating you up, condemnation, you're worthless. You feel just, you're living in the muck, in the mud. You're not living in high places because you just forgot. You're just negligent of the truth. And you're just wallowing and fighting demons when God's called you to consort with the angelic. And that's really what he's saying. It blinds. And he says, wherefore the rather, and this is how he closes it, wherefore the rather, brethren, get out of the mud. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall, and an entrance will be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It ain't guaranteed. Whoa. That's a heavy verse. It ain't guaranteed because you said some little prayer, I got a ticket to heaven. I beg to differ. Read that passage. Wherefore, give diligence, you can make a calling election sure, so you make an entrance into the eternal kingdom. Whoa! Read those passages for what they say. It ain't guaranteed. He that endures to the end shall be saved. It's all about fulfilling the calling, the election, and coming in the fullness of who God has called you to be. It's not just something... You know, get saved, do your own thing down here, and you got a place in heaven. It ain't going to be that way. A lot of people are going to be surprised. Jesus did not come to save souls. He came to make disciples. He's not willing that any should perish, grant you. But his passion is to make disciples, not just get people saved. And you see that in Christ. He literally, people would walk off, and he wouldn't run behind him and get him to make a profession of faith. It was either all the way or not at all, hot or cold. With me or against me, gathering or scattering, that's the way Jesus was. And the gospel preached today is so lame, so watered down, so out of balance, that people as a result have no passion for what the kingdom is. And so the kingdom of God is not being birthed in many places. And I trust and believe that that's not the case with us. These passages basically are a clear picture of spiritual dullness, blind to the true state of self, rich and good, and have need of nothing, and you know not that you're poor, blind, miserable, and naked. Revelation 3:17. A disciple sits under the word. John 8:31. He that continues in my word is my disciple indeed, and shall know the truth, and the truth shall set him free. A disciple sits under the word. You need to be washed with the water of the word. Now you're cleansed with the word. All of that's rhema. It's the word. I need to sit under the word. That's why I'm glad for my iPod. I'm excited about podcasts. Because podcast, literally, I can sit in a way I haven't been able to sit under the word of two or three different, four different ministries and listen to them. Besides listening to the Car Talk, the Click and Clack Brothers, you know, I got to listen to them. But listen to the ministries and getting the word of God in my spirit. Got to have the word of God. God has divine encounters waiting for us. Ephesians 2:10. The boat's at the dock. Who's dawdling on the shore? Who's waiting around on the pier? The thorns and weeds are going to choke. Lusts and pleasures, the preoccupation. I bought a field, Lord. I married a wife. I've got to prove my oxen. I can't go. I'm not ready. So the thing tonight, today, is let's step back and let's look at the forest instead of the trees. What is God doing? God's doing something new in our church. And I'm really excited because I'm excited about the Word. When I get excited about Scripture and what the Scripture has to say, that says God's doing something new. Let's all stand. Jesus. How many of y'all want to connect the dots? Wisdom. Lord, I pray today, you said in simple Scripture, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Say this up to me, Jesus. I'm dull as a butter knife at times, or even more dull. Sharpen me, Jesus. I just had a picture. You know what you have to do to a pencil to get it sharp? You ever seen one of those things? It goes into this narrow hole. Gets real dark. All of a sudden these spinning things begin to come in. Blades, cutting. Zing, zing. How many of you want to be sharp? I'm sorry. Sharpen me, Jesus. Say that. Sharpen me, Jesus. Whatever it takes, let my life be fruitful. Bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And that's just praising. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray you'd call us short in the areas, Lord, where we're just resistant to you. Lord, we would embrace the C word. We would be cognizant and aware that you're doing a new thing. We'd be party to it, part of it, participating in it, bearing the fruit of it, and our lives and the lives of our family will be the evidence of the kingdom of God. We just bless you. We thank you today. We bless you. Oggi sotto l'obate di mans. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Go in peace in Jesus' name. God bless you. Anybody need prayer and honor?